Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. You are listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show, founded to increase the national awareness of black women in the construction industry. NABWIC is the charge and takes the charge for black women to advocate for further opportunities to its members. Our mission as a core foundation is to strengthen the building blocks of new educational, entrepreneurial, professional, and social network connections. The vision of NABWIC is to build long-lasting strategic partnerships with first-rate organizations and individuals that will provide groundbreaking and innovative solutions for black women in construction and their respective communities. We invite you to call or text or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now, or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments.
Good morning, and welcome to another fantastic episode of NABWIC Talks. This is Odedra Williams. I'm one of your co-hosts, and we are excited to welcome Anthony Miller today as our guest on NABWIC Talks. As you know, we are the voice of black women in construction. Thank you so much for joining. We would love to welcome you to follow us on social media. We're on LinkedIn, Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And again, welcome to NABWIC Talks. This is Odedra Williams. Super excited to be joined in the studio by our co-host, Ursula Odom, with Ursula's History Shop. She is a motivational speaker, and she helps you to write your story and get it out, tell your story, and share with the world. We also have Zakiya Flagg with Flagg Labor, who is an amazing person, and we love her working with NABWIC. We have Jackie Perry with Data Architects, and we have Gerald Barnes, who is a consultant and helps us so much through NABWIC. So thank you, Gerald, for being here. And of course, we have with us Ann McNeil, who is the founder of NABWIC. Also, she has so many companies. Her business, MPO Construction, just recently won a gigantic deal, and we're so excited for her. And we want to just welcome you, Ms. Ann, to come off and share with us today, and then we'll come back and introduce Mr. Anthony Miller. Ms. Ann?
Yes, good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, Odedra and everybody. I tell it all the time. If I were any better, Odedra, I would be you, and you can hear in the background, I am in the beautiful skies again right now in Atlanta Airport on a layover on my way to Denver. But I would be remiss if I did not stop by and join in to hear another phenomenal, phenomenal guest as a part of our podcast. But I like to always remind everybody that we are the voice, not just of black women in construction, but we're the voice of this industry. And the vision of this phenomenal organization, NABWIC, is to continue to build lasting strategic partnerships with first-rate organizations and individuals such as our guest today that will provide groundbreaking and innovative solutions for black women in construction and our respective communities. And I would encourage everybody to go to NABWIC.org. If you are a potential member or a renewing member or a new member and you're interested in taking your contacts and turning them into contracts, please, please, please follow us, as Odedra has said, but also consider becoming a member, sponsor, or partner. I am excited always, Odedra, every time I have an opportunity to hear our special guests, but also to encourage our members to join in with us and dialogue with our guests. And right now I'm also excited, and thank you for sharing about the project that I just won, which is a fire station, my third fire station in my hometown of Riviera Beach. But more importantly than that are the lives that this construction industry affords us all. Kia, Jackie, Odedra, all of us. This industry affords us an opportunity to change lives and change families. We just do it through the construction industry. And so that's what I'd like to encourage us to think about as we listen to our guest today, and just think about all the lives that he's touching and changing as he do what he does with another phenomenal agency. And so as always, Odija, let's get this party started.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ms. Ann. And we see why you are world-renowned as the master builder. Thank you so much. So we're going to take a very short commercial break, and then when we come back, we will introduce our guest, our special guest for today. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sabrina Miller. I am the owner of MDI General Contracting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm a new member of the National Association of Black Women in Construction, and I'm excited to celebrate women in the construction industry. I'm most proud about NABWIC's ability to have intertwined itself in the legislative process, which affects all women and particularly black women in the construction industry, and I'm happy to be a part of that process and help to grow NABWIC's reach in the Pennsylvania area. My name is Sabrina Miller. Please join me in celebrating women in construction.
All right. We always love to hear our members from NABWIC on those commercial breaks. And this, again, is NABWIC Talks. Welcome back. In this episode, we are thrilled to host Anthony Miller, who is a seasoned supplier diversity professional with over 20 years' experience across transportation, general construction, and construction management. Currently, he serves at the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and Anthony has managed over $3 billion in assets, including high-profile projects like Citi Field and the World Trade Center Memorial. He started his career as an intern and rapidly advanced to key roles such as compliance manager and supply chain management expert. Anthony has become a formidable advocate for small, diverse businesses. Join us today. We're so excited. Welcome, Anthony Miller, and we're excited to explore your impactful career and your dedication to fostering inclusive opportunities and your insights on the evolving landscape of suppliers diversity. So, Zakiya, could you please come on and help us to welcome Anthony Miller? Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much, Odija. I am super excited about today's show. Good morning, everybody. This is Zakiya Flagg from Flagg Labor. I'm in the studio with all my rock star co-hosts, as always, but also we have a special guest today, Mr. Anthony Miller from the Port Authority, as Odija just mentioned. Now, this is very special to me because I'm a New Jersey resident, and my business, Flagg Labor, also known as Capital Cleaning Services, is a certified WMBE and certified SBE business with the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. And I'm going to tell you, when I first got that certification, I promise not to make this all about me, but when I first got that certification, I really didn't know what that meant. I really didn't think it was going to do anything to help my business. I'm going to be very honest with you. But the Port Authority, when I say they stand behind the small businesses in the construction industry, and I'm sure in all industries, I'm telling you, they are there for us. So it is my pleasure to welcome Mr. Anthony Miller to the studio. Anthony Miller, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning, Ken. Good morning, everybody. How are you?
We are good. We are good. So I'm just going to jump right in because that's just the type of person that I am. But I just wanted to highlight that I've met you finally after being on multiple calls with you over my years of being certified with the Port Authority. I've been on calls where you gave us business information sessions, trainings, and most recently, which is where I met you, was at the Speed Mixer. You guys facilitated a Speed Mixer for small businesses, and the construction companies, project managers, and leads were there to actually meet us in person. So that was amazing. And again, that's where I actually met you after being on many, many, many Zoom calls with you where you helped us out. So tell the audience here a little bit about your background and how you came to this point in your career.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. So again, Anthony Miller, I'm from Jersey City, New Jersey, and I started out in this particular career path while still in college. I actually worked for a WBE firm that had a contract with the design build team that built the Hudson Bergen Light Rail in Jersey City, New Jersey, which is my hometown. So I had an opportunity to be a part-time employee with a WBE, learning the business from that aspect and from the ground up. After getting involved, I developed a passion for what the small business can do and also just supply diversity in general. So we had a contract, or the firm had a contract, to do outreach and to create opportunities for small firms to participate on that project. And they were the public-facing arm or liaison for that design build firm. So the years I spent on that project was approximately 4 years. Through there, I developed my skills with compliance, on-site compliance, supply diversity reporting, understood and learned about certification, and et cetera. And during that tenure, I met New Jersey Transit, who was the agency that was the parent company for the project, and their consultants. So mm-hmm. once I transitioned from being an employee for that WBE firm, I was approached by the agency consultant, contract compliance at the time, to become a member of their team to help their client directly and to become a part of their team and to do the same type of work for them as I was doing for the WBE firm. So I accepted that opportunity, and then New Jersey Transit came to me after the consultant firm was released from the project. They looked at the individuals who were part of that consultant firm and said, would you be interested in becoming a member of New Jersey Transit and work on all the transit projects and et cetera, and then the rest of the system. So from that,
wow.
I was able to go from public to private, and then now with the Port Authority, so I was able to take my skills and hone my skills in both the public and private sector dealing with those type of contracts. And again, as was mentioned in my bio, Citi Field for the Mets, Brooklyn, Barclays Center for the Brooklyn Nets, which is my favorite basketball team. So it's bittersweet to work on their new home, being in New Jersey, because I've been a New Jersey Nets fan for my adolescence. So that was again bittersweet, but get to see and get to be a part of arenas, because these are legacy projects, right? They don't build arenas every year. These are once every 25 to 30 year projects. So
right.
being part of Citi Field, being part of Barclays, being in a private sector and being able to expand my scope as well as my impact in the area of supply diversity and compliance, this is why I am today with the Port Authority and being a part of that team and helping the firms within the region, because the Port Authority footprint being a bi-state authority, we don't receive government funding from the states of New York and New Jersey. We fund all the projects within the region. That footprint is 50-mile radius from the Statue of Liberty.
Wow. That's amazing. That was a lot. I had so many questions that just popped out of that. Oh my goodness. But I'll drill it down. That was amazing. But I'll drill it down to Citi Field, I think you said, and Barclays, those kind of projects. Now, were those projects, were those Port Authority projects, or were those from the private sector? I'm just curious.
No problem. No, those are absolutely private. No, those are absolutely private sector contracts. When you talk about stadiums and arenas, the Port Authority is a transportation organization, so they don't get involved with building stadiums and arenas. So I work for a company called Bovis Lendlease. They are a construction management general contracting firm, and they mm-hmm. They still around. The name has changed a few times, but they've had a legacy up now at close to 70 years being in the industry. It was Lear Montgomery Bovis, then it became Bovis Lendlease, now it's Lendlease. And them being in the region and being a construction management firm, they built projects, the World Trade Center Memorial, all the Trump Towers on the west side of New York. So they have a legacy of many private sector, high-scale, high-rise, and commercial buildings in the region.
Right, right. Now let me ask you this. This question may be a little sticky, tricky, but I just want to know from your experience working on the private sector, working on the public sector, and in Port Authority we're going to call them government or state. Do you find that it's the same as far as the companies meeting those those set-aside goals, meaning WNBE, the veteran, et cetera. There's so many set-aside, the W-8s, the this and that. You know, there's too many. I can't. But do you find that, you know, do you find that on the private side as well as the public or government side that those set-asides are met as easily? Like, in other words, does an outside force need to come in and kind of encourage or monitor and make sure? And I'm asking, of course, as a small business, I'm sure a lot of our listeners would like to know the answer to that.
Sure. So they're not the same, and the advocacy matters. So what I would say to that, just to be transparent and also to offer to the small business that are listening, always pay attention to who's funding the project and then the team that are managing the compliance and the outreach. Right, because then that will help you understand who are your advocates and who you need to go to when you're not getting the results that you're looking for, whether it's communication, the opportunity to bid, payment issues, et cetera. So on the public side, the authorities and the transits of the world, they're the client, right? So their staff that are in the supply diversity units, they are your advocates. As the client, want to make sure their goals are being met on their projects that they're funding. So you definitely want to find out who those individuals are and introduce yourself, become acclimated with them, and then become acclimated with you. On the private side, it depends on who they have managing the process. So what I've learned on the private side, they don't always have dedicated persons. There may be a supply diversity person that's also a procurement person, or they have a lawyer who does law as well as biodiversity. So sometimes they have a individual playing a double role, and their focus may not be the same, or their commitment is not the same. So if they have a team that's dedicated to supply diversity and compliance and that stuff, you will probably have a better experience with that private sector entity. But ask the question. You know, find out who the team is, find out what's going on. But if you know who their clients are, because if they're not funding it themselves, if you learn who the client is and if they're a public sector client, then you can leverage your relationship with the private sector firm through the public client, right? Making sure that they are staying on top of what they're supposed to do and letting them know that you're interested in that project. So you have, again, another avenue to consider when you're looking to become a participant in those projects.
Got it. That makes so much sense, because that comes up in our industry so much, especially for those of us that are have any of those certifications, right? Because there's so many of them,
right.
And we're all curious, who's managing, like you said, the compliance? Who is the person that's going to actually make sure that these set-aside goals are met on the projects? And this can vary from state to state. I mean, we're New York and New Jersey, but different states have different rules and different, percentages for that. So it's very, very good to know. And thank you so much for saying that. I know for a fact that some of our members, including some of our NABWIC members, really, really needed to hear what you just said. I know that from previous calls. So with that said, give us a little bit of detail or give us a little bit of the goals of the diversity, equity, and inclusion team at the Port Authority. Like, what are you – I know some of your guys' goals because, again, I've been certified forever. I'm coming up for recertification. So I know. But for our listeners, let them know. Mm-hmm.
No problem. So just to offer context, so our goals that we are operating under today, they were reestablished in 2018. So prior to 2018, the Port Authority goals were 12% minority business enterprise and 5% woman business enterprise. Our goals are based upon a disparity study that's conducted every 5 years by the authority to determine what is the demographics in the industry and in the region of participation, what firms are, based on census and other data, what firms in the region are available for business opportunities, specifically in the codes, firms being certified in the codes that represent transportation and other areas of business that would be direct recipients of contracts from us, right? Because when you do the census, it includes everybody from beauticians to food service providers. So you have to aggregate the database, the census information based on information directly related to the projects that we procure and the firms that are in that census data that meet that, or matchmake, so to speak, to that those particular scopes. So when you do that, you get an aggregated number, and from that, you can determine what the region offers in terms of businesses that perform the services you need. And then from there, you use a formula to develop what your goal is. So there's a process and a methodology. So when that was done in 2018 and completed, it was decided that there were more firms in the region. And again, this is pre-COVID, keep that in mind, mm-hmm. that there was a percentage of firms in the region that performed certain services. So we improved our goals from what they were, that 12% and 7%, 5%, 12 and 5% was the preceding 25 years. That was the same goal for that time period. As of 2018, it is now 20% minority business enterprise, 10% mm-hmm. woman business enterprise. Then we added the service-disabled veteran-owned goal of 3%, because that's a fairly new status that came about over the past, I want to say, 8 to 10 years, service-disabled veteran. And with that, we was able to increase our goal to provide a greater share to the firms in the region based on the disparity study and the scopes of work that we identified. We also have our federal goal. And again, that's separate from our policy goals. So the 20, 10, and 3% are Port Authority policy goals. We, with the DBE and the ACDBE, these are certifications under the Department of U.S. Department of Transportation that if you are a federal recipient of any federal dollars, you have to have both of these. Well, if you have an airport, you have to have an ACDBE program in addition to a DBE program, because ACDBE is Airport Concessionaires Disadvantaged Business. And the DB is Disadvantaged Business Enterprise. And both of those, you have to determine a facility goal. And then when you're awarding contracts, you do an analysis to determine what the contract goal is going to be. So there's a facility goal, and that's a cumulative goal for a three-year period. And each contract you award, you do an analysis to determine based on the scope of work, because it's supposed to be narrowly tailored to the firms that are at the time you're bidding the contract, who's available and what they can do and what's going on in that particular scope. So, for example, we say Newark Airport because we're dealing with New Jersey. So if the goal at Newark Airport is 14% DBE, then the contract, let's say, is one contract for one runway repair. Based on the firms that are available to do the work and that are certified in runway repair scopes, we are doing analysis and determine whether the goal should be 7% for that contract or 27%. It's all based on availability, and that's why you do the analysis. So it's not a slap-on type of goal. It's a derived goal based on availability of firms at that time, and that's key, right? And that's how we can ensure that the goal is in real time. It's tailored to the firms that are in the scope and in the area at that time. And then when we are audited by the feds, they can see that we've taken the necessary steps to ensure that the maximum opportunity for participation is happening. So for that same example, even if the goal, let's say the facility goal is 14% and the goal for that contract is 18%, that means you met the goal of one contract. But if it was, and the converse, if it was, the goal came out to be 9%, all right, so you have a three-year 14% goal, that one contract is 9%, that means you met 9% of that 14% goal, and your other contracts you award, as long as they add up to that 14%, then you're trending positively towards what the facility goal is. So you can have one contract, you can have 12 contracts, so it all depends on, you know, the type of scopes of work that will be eligible for funding from the Fed. So the way that works is the Port Authority, we pay for the project up front, and then we apply for a reimbursement through a grant from the feds to say this is a what we call state of good repair type of contract, because if the runway or the taxiways are not fixed properly, then the planes can't land and take off. So those type of contracts are available for federal grants. Similar to others, if you are at our ports or our highways and our paths, the train, the rail system that we operate, all of those things apply. And maybe I should actually talk about, you know, the facilities and line departments that we have too, to provide a more detailed scope of what Port Authority does, because I know there's some assumptions about what the Port Authority is and what it does.
Right. Wow. That is very, very beneficial, again, to our listeners, especially our listeners that are here locally in New York and New Jersey. Thank you so much for sharing that. Let me ask you this. What are some of the benefits of a small business, you know, becoming certified with the Port Authority? And the two part to that, it's a two-part question, and I'm going to tell you both parts, is, you know, do you see any, I don't really want to use the word mistakes, do you see any areas of improvement on the small business side as far as when they are trying to become certified with the port? So the first question is,
yes.
What's the benefits of them becoming certified with the port?
Okay. So let me again offer context. So just to say what the Port Authority is, right? So the Port Authority is a 103-year-old authority that was started in 1921 through a compact with Congress to say we want one entity to be responsible for all the bridges and tunnels and the ports that are both in New York and New Jersey that are dealing with commerce. We want them to be operated by one entity. And through that compact, the Port Authority was born. As you can imagine, when the governor of one state and the governor of another state don't get along, then some things get stalled, right? And so that didn't start happening this era. It's been happening for eons. So this compact was to help bring both New York and Jersey together and create an entity that would be bipartisan to what the state politics are, right? And with that, the infrastructure. So we have several line departments. So we have airports, we have the rail, we have the tunnel bridges and terminals, we have our property real estate, and I think if I'm missing one, but it'll come to me. So for the large scale of all the projects and the facilities that we have, the George Washington Bridge, the Bayonne Bridge, the Gatos Bridge, we own those, and Holland Tunnel, Lincoln Tunnel, we own those, the path rail station from New Jersey to New York, we own that. We own all five airports in the region, the LaGuardia, Teterboro, Stewart Airport, as well as JFK, as well as Newark Airport. We own the World Trade Center campus. So all the buildings that make up the World Trade Center, those are our, that's the land. We own that land, and we have developers who manage different buildings on the land, but we are the landlord, so to speak. And then we have other buildings at our facility. So you can imagine for staff. So at our airports, we have buildings there and staff at all of those facilities. So we have the Port Authority bus terminal. Now we own the bus terminal, so we're the landlord, and we have buses operate out of their different private companies. So we don't operate buses out of the bus terminal, but we own the bus terminal. So that swath of the asset can let you lend to you the idea of how many type of contracts, whether it's cleaning contracts, transportation contracts, et cetera, that we offer as an organization. So the Port Authority's capital plan, which is a 10-year capital plan, is about $37 billion. And each year, over that 10 years, we estimate how much we're going to spend on proposed contracts that we are forecasting to happen during those periods. Now, sometimes the contracts are postponed or canceled, have to be pushed out. But for the most part, we try to operate and stay on track based on that capital plan. So that capital plan is available to anybody on our corporate website, which is www.pa, as in Port Authority, NY, as in New York, NJ.com, C-O-M, and also .gov, G-O-V, PANYNJ.gov or .com. It'll bring you to our corporate website, and you can find out all the information, capital plan, and things of that nature. It gives you very detailed view of the organization and how we operate. So with saying all of that, has there been improvement with small businesses? The answer is yes, because there has been a targeted focus with our group. I'm in the Office of Diversity, Equity, Inclusion at the Port Authority.
Mm-hmm.
And we are responsible for policy. We are responsible for policy throughout the Port Authority. And
let me jump in. I want to cut you off, even though I shouldn't. So are you guys the people who manage the compliance that you mentioned earlier?
Absolutely.
You're
we are the people that manage the compliance. That is correct.
Got it.
For
okay,
the entire agency. Yes. So with the revamping of our goals in 2018, we also changed the way we do compliance, meaning we had a process of compliance. We leveled up of our compliance using technology as well as oversight in terms of the type of things that we wanted to see, which also included developing a report card. So for our internal departments and our team, we hold them accountable for diversity, equity, and inclusion as well, which is we track who they spend money with in terms of forms of contracts and professional services and consultants. We're tracking that internally and holding them accountable for the agreements that they're making and when they're going out for solicitation. Are they identifying diverse small firms to be a part of that business list and not just awarding it to a firm that was an incumbent, right? Whether it's a government contract, you know, because in the procurement world, they have opportunity for what they call piggybacking, where if there's a government contract that's already existing with another entity or public agency, you can kind of, not kind of, but piggybacking, you can latch on to that contract and procure that particular scope of work through that same contract, and you may or may not have to negotiate the price, right, depending on the firm. But that's another way of opportunities where a firm of small businesses were not getting an opportunity to bid because they,
weren't considered.
So we opened that up, right? So not just accepting the piggyback opportunity with government contracts, we actually looked at pre-qualification and also bidding those type of contracts as well. So we looked at every level and every measure of how we procure and secure with our procurement department and develop new processes, added and changed procurement language, added the goals, policy goals across all of our scopes. That means construction, goods and services, as well as professional services, which is architects and engineers, and the non-architect and engineer professional services. Well, you talk about accounting and et cetera. So we looked at all those aspects, and by doing so, that led to an increase of participation across the board. That's internally, and that didn't include the external, meaning hiring prime contractors and making them accountable for our goals and making sure that they were meeting our goals. And before we award the contract, we review their plan. So we don't award a contract to a prime unless they're meeting our goals or they can show justification of why they can't meet the goals, meaning firms are not available, firms are non-responsive, there's not a lot of firms in that industry, et cetera, et cetera. But a plan is not approved without the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion stamp before it goes forward for authorization and approval by our executive director. And that's key for us, too. Our executive director is reviewing any contract of a certain dollar value to ensure that it has diversity in that contract. That means whether it's PBE, WBE, et cetera. So it's from the top down that that's a process. Yes.
Makes sense. So is that explains why, like I said, I've personally sat in some of these information sessions where the Port Authority will put the construction companies, I guess, according to what you just said, these construction companies have already been approved. They're on a separate list. But that's why you guys put us right on a Zoom call with them or right in a meeting with them, because you've already pre-screened them as well as us. We're pre-screened as well. So we're to make sure that we're compliant and to make sure that, you know, we're in the right scope of work and nobody's wasting their time. So you just explained how we all got to get to that meeting. And like you said, from the growth of your efforts at the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Office, hence the growth, that's why the calls and the meetings have so many people now. Because, I mean, it wasn't always like that. So, You know what we're going to do? It's at the top of the hour, but before I let you go, we're going to do two things. We're going to take a quick break, a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I do want you to answer that other question about small business owners, you know, what's the benefit to them becoming certified with the Port Authority. So right now we're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
All right.
We are so excited to have you listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show. Please call, text, or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now. Or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Don't forget to follow us by liking our page and post your questions or comments. NABWIC's intent is to always go into the high schools and colleges to encourage our young Black girls and women to enter into the construction industry and to take interest into the STEM programs that are offered. We encourage you to listen to this show or past shows on the internet by logging in at www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC. Thank you, and we're back.
All right. Thank you so much again for being in the studio with us this morning, Mr. Miller. We do have a question. We have a question from Ms. Ann McNeil. Ms. McNeil?
Yes, good morning. I learned a lot. Mr. Miller, my question is, how can we, as the National Association of Black Women in Construction, how can we better partner and support you in what you're doing at your agency? Membership, okay. Sponsorship, partnership, anything like that. How can we help support you? Thank you.
Okay, no problem. So what we have developed in our office what we call a list of thought partners, right? So what that means is that when we are looking at developing policies or programs, we have a list of folks that we can outreach to kind of get their feedback, industry folks, organizations, chambers of commerce, other representatives from other authorities, and et cetera, right? So when we decide that we want that type of external input, we can have that list of folks to outreach to. So you can volunteer to be a part of that list, and then we can add your institution to that list, and then when we look to solicit that type of feedback, you guys will be involved in the conversation. So that's one. Two is prep, like making sure that the firms that are part of your organization, if they're looking to do business with the Port Authority, whether as a sub or a prime, that they have the proper certification. And again, all of our certifications and registration is free to small businesses. There's no charge. So that they have the proper certifications and that they're certified in the categories where they actually do the work. Because what happens there is some firms, they get certified and they say, oh, I do all of this. But when they actually get certified, they may have a smaller scope or codes that don't match all the work that they say that they can do. And then they don't get solicited or notifications about those other areas that were not included. And then they're wondering why they're not being invited to certain things. So a firm that can prove that through documentation and contracts and references that they can perform certain scopes and tasks of work, that they get certified in all of those areas, as well as look at all the certification programs that we have that they're eligible for. So if you're a woman-owned business and you happen to be a woman of color, you can qualify tentatively for both the Women Business Enterprise as well as the Minority Business Enterprise certification. So, you know, apply for both. If you can meet the Small Business SBE certification standard and based on your scope of work, you want to apply for that as well. And then if you can meet the DBE and or ACDBE certification standards, you want to apply for all of them, right? Because you don't want to get in a situation where you're looking to perform on a particular contract scope and based on if it's federally funded versus PA funded, you don't have the right certification type. Again, federally funded is DBE, ACDBE, and PA funded, that's the MBE, WBE, SDVOB, as well as SBE. Those are the certification status that are policy driven. We don't have goals for SBE. With Small Business Enterprise, what we do have is a set-aside program where we only bid CEs that fit the scope of work we're looking to bid under a certain dollar value. So we have dollar value thresholds for SBE is up to $2.5 million. So any contract that falls under $2.5 million, we bid directly to SBEs to help grow those firms, right? So our SBE program is race neutral and gender neutral. So any MBE firm that meets the criteria can also be an SBE, and you have the opportunity to bid as a prime on the contracts that are slotted for SBE participation, in addition to also being able to be a sub to a prime to meet the M and WBE goals, right? So you have a subcontractor supply opportunity as a sub to a prime, and as a certified SBE, you may have direct opportunities to bid as a SBE, because most of the SBE contracts fall into the construction area. So goods and services, we don't have SBE goods and services set aside, and we may have occasional professional services, architect, engineer, SBEs, but most of it is construction. So those that are in construction and have SBE, you could potentially be a prime directly with the Port Authority. No middle company, no liaison, you're the prime, and that can help you grow your business. So positioning your members to understand those type of things can help grow your firm and help strengthen your partnership with us as we look to, you know, develop programs and kind of bring more contract opportunities to the small business community.
Listen, if you talk anymore, you're going to make me want to move.
Don't do that. You live in Florida now. Don't push it now. I'm like, now, wait a minute now. Don't push it. You don't want this weather in the winter.
Well, listen, let me say this. Consider it done. Thought partnership with your organization. Zakiya, we'll talk about that offline. And
of course.
I am just so excited and encouraged to have you and your organization as a partner with us to help us help you to hit your desired goals. No pun intended, but I mean overarching goals, not the other goals. So thank you so very much for joining us today. And I always like to ask the question of everybody when I get a chance. And that's your favorite book and favorite platform and why. I know, oh, my goodness, the time is almost, listen. Okay, Jackie, Ursula, I know the time is well invested. Listen, Miller, I think we may have to have you come back.
You took the words out of my mouth, Miss Ann.
Yeah, we may have to have you come back because I'll hold my two questions out of respect for your time and everybody else, but you have been a phenomenal, phenomenal guest. You raised the bar today. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you,
Miss Ann. Thank you so much. And again, we are pretty much a little bit at a quarter after the hour, so we have to definitely bring this to a close and give you your day back. But in closing, Mr. Miller, just answer this in closing quickly. Just share with us your favorite book, author, or a positive affirmation that you would like for our listeners to hear. And if you could say it in two words, because you never did answer the benefits of a small business becoming certified with the Port, if you could just give us two words, like maybe grow, like you make up the words. That's it. I just want to know those two things.
Okay. Well, listen, I will take the time to give more context, so I won't limit it to 2 minutes. So I will say this, and then we can close on a high note. So in terms of supply diversity program benefits, right? So with the Port Authority, we develop certain program benefits that are eligible for firms that are directly certified. And I don't want to be remiss in saying that. In order to participate as a diverse firm with the Port Authority, having certifications by other entities, whether public or private, is fine. But because we fund our own projects, you need to be certified directly with us, with the exception of the DBE and the ACDB program, because, again, it's federal. So you do have to be certified. If you're not based in New York or New Jersey, you do have to be certified by your home state and then apply for what's called reciprocity with the Port Authority to do business as a DBE or ACDBE with the Port Authority on USDOT-funded contracts, right? So with that as a level set, for our certified M and WBEs and our DBEs and SCDOBs, we have participation goals in all of our contracts. So there's no contract awarded out of the Port Authority that we don't have associated goals, whether policy goals or federally associated goals. For our set-aside contracts, which I mentioned before, which is up to $2.5 million, that's SBE and SBDOB, we have, you know, those contracts can add up and be beneficial to a certified firm that's awarded multiple. If you're considering that you get 10 contracts that could be up to $2.5 million that can substantially help grow your company and grow your profit line and your profit margin. We waive, as an organization, we waive bonding for SBE set-aside construction contract solicitations up to $2.5 million. So just think about it, where a lot of agencies require that you provide bonding when you're bidding on contracts. If you're bidding on a contract with us as an SBE and SEBOB, we waive the bonding. So that's another benefit of being a certified firm to help save the small businesses money, right? And again, that includes and that includes MNWBEs, right? Because like I said, SBEs is race neutral and gender neutral, and the firms that are MBEs that are can be SBEs, they benefit from that as well, as well as any program that we have that's geared towards MNWs, which we do. We have a small contracts program that's geared towards MBEs specifically and those who are not benefiting from our contracting program. So if they have a very low margin of participation, that program is geared towards those MBEs that are black and brown specifically that have been historically not benefiting from our program. So we're talking about African-American and Hispanic-owned firms. They can only bid on those small contract programs. And we set that up specifically because we wanted to see those firms grow. So those contract opportunities fall under another threshold. $2.5 million is that limit, but also if it's under $1 million, I think $1.5 million, we're only bidding that $1.5 million to those MBEs, black and Hispanic specifically, to help them grow their firms as well, give them an opportunity to bid against firms of their size. So again, a program we developed within the past. This is only a year and a half old program that we set up to help grow firms just based on data analysis, what firms are getting contracts. All MBEs are not equal, right? So we identify that based on those opportunities, and we're bidding directly to those that group or that community of firms to help them grow. Give me monthly prompt payment policies. So we have prompt payment policies in all of our contracts.
Yes,
and if you
I know
are
about that
directly,
as well.
Absolutely. So if you're directly certified and you're working for a prime, or if you're working directly for us, we have prompt payment where you can be paid twice a month, barring there's no issues of litigation, right? Barring no issues of litigation and the work you're doing is done but to satisfaction, you can be paid twice a month to help with cash flow. We have price preferences on our publicly advertised contracts up to $1 million. And that's, which means that for a firm that's certified as an MWBE or SBEOB, you have a 10% price preference. And if you are a SBE, you have a 5% price preference. And simply in translation is, if you're bidding on a goods and services contract and you are 10% higher than the lowest bid as a MBE, WBE, or SBEOB certified with the Port Authority, your bid is not disqualified. You still considered a competitive bid. So that increases your chances of being awarded contracts in those areas by having that price preference for our directly certified firms. So again, up to $1 million, if you're MBE, a WBE, EBOB, you have a 10% price preference, and as a SBE, you have a 5% price preference. So you're still in the game as long as your bid is within those percentage thresholds from the lowest qualified bid on that particular contract opportunity. And lastly, we just developed a what we call self-participation credit on contracts up to $5 million on construction. So which means is that if you happen to win the contract and you're also a certified MBE or WBE, then the portion of the contract that fits your certification classification, you satisfy that. So if you're a prime MBE, you satisfy the 20% MBE goal. If you're a prime WBE, you satisfy the 10% WBE goal. If you're a prime SDVOB, you satisfy the 3% SDVOB goal. You still have to meet the other goals. So if you're prime MBE, you still got to meet the WBE and the SDVOB, but that's one less firm you got to look for as an MBE because you are
MBE. If you're the prom.
Right.
If you're the prom.
If you're the
prom. That makes sense.
Yes.
Okay.
We call that self-participation credit. And that allows for, again, the firm to help grow their business, to help grow, you know, because they're winning as a prime now. So they they can take the profit margins from that prime opportunity and reinvest it in bidding on new firms and hiring staff and stuff like that. So when you say benefits, I just listed six benefits of being a Port Authority directly certified SBE, MBE, SDVOB, et cetera, that will help firms in whatever classification, scope of work, et cetera, to be successful in their pursuit. And I'm not guaranteeing you're going to win every contract, of course, but you're in the conversation where, you know, where there was a problem, you know, used to be a issue with access to opportunities. So we have broken down as many barriers as possible through contract awards, language, and et cetera, to create access to opportunities to allow for a level bidding field for firms
yes.
that are certified with us.
Okay, okay. I agree. I've had that experience. I agree.
Yeah.
Favorite book, author, positive affirmation, something for the listeners.
Okay.
It could be either of those things, by the way.
No, no, great question. I have them all. So, you know, for me, all of that works. And I think from a business standpoint, it might be good to kind of look for or develop those things that help you keep a positive outlook and stay focused, right? So in terms of a book, there's a lot of books that I like. And again, it's based on your interest. But if you're talking about professional development or business, you know, there's books on how to become successful, you know, different type of mantras. But the one I found to be, not one, several, but one I recently that I was reading, it was the Data. So it's by the author Dr. Randall Pinkett. He's a New Jersey native. He graduated from Rutgers University. He also was a Rhodes Scholar, and he won The Apprentice for the Donald Trump's MBE.
Oh, yeah, I remember
MBC
Randall.
Program. Yes. Mm-hmm. So he wrote a book that talked about data analytics that he released late last year. And it was very interesting from just a business standpoint and from the understanding of supply diversity, what entities, what companies, what individuals, people in those spaces, what they can look at, things that they may not have considered, and then looking at the data analytics, because we always are faced with the question, what's the return on investment for supply diversity?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he
right.
did a good job making a case as well as providing data evidence of when you look at ODI and now considering the recent attacks on ODI, having read that book and having that book in the ecosystem, I think is a good read for anybody, for any diverse business, for any business in particular, and also business leaders who make decisions to look at that and be able to gain another perspective based on those data analytics. The title of the book fails me at the moment, but Data and ODI is in the title.
Okay, and Randall and Pinkett. Randall Pinkett. I
yes.
know exactly who he is. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, Dr. Randall
okay.
Pinkett. So that book, he's written several books, and he has a partner as well that he writes with who also is currently the provost of Rutgers North, of Rutgers University North, the North Campus, Dr. Jeffrey Robinson. So they've written a book together, Black Faces in High Places, which is a good read as
mm-hmm.
well. Again, talking about being a person of color in these executive spaces and what that means and what that looks like. And then they also interviewed, I want to say, up to 50 executives of top Fortune 500 companies and kind of, you know, brought their perspectives in the book too. So those two I would recommend. And again, that's me being a supply diversity person and being a compliance person. I took great interest in what they offered in the subject matter. As it relates to diversity and inclusion, because I live this life, I'm about diversity and inclusion. What I've done in my signature tag in my company, when people get emails from me, I have a quote. And the quote is from Verna Myers. And the quote is, diversity is being invited to the party. Inclusion is being asked to dance, right?
Nice.
And it's a constant reminder that you can invite somebody somewhere, but if you isolate them, are you really being inclusive, right? So to have somebody at your dinner table that doesn't look like you, it may be looks good optically, but if you're not feeding them, are you really including them, right? Are you really embracing that person? So that's one of my, that I, you know, every day that when somebody get a note from me, they're seeing that as a constant reminder that, you know, diversity is being invited to the party, folks, but let's be inclusive. Making sure if we ask them to dance, we're actually holding hands and we're actually dancing together and we're making, you know, we're making movements together that's going to help everybody in the conversation. So by doing so, it's a, just a reminder, right? Without saying it, without, you know, having to repeat it every meeting, it's just something to remind folks that we got to do more than just invite people. So it relates to small businesses. We just can't invite them for contract opportunities with the Port Authority. You know, we got to actually include them. And by doing so, the programs we develop, we want to help use that as a vehicle, as a tool of inclusion.
Fantastic. Well, you know what, Mr. Miller, thank you so much for being here today. We do have to have you back, as Ann mentioned, where some of your colleagues, like Lucia, she's definitely helped me out a lot here in New Jersey. I know she's out of the Elizabeth office. But I do want to thank you for being here and sharing your time with us this morning. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for being here, and I just want to remind everybody, if you are interested in becoming a certified member of Small Business with the Port Authority, please visit their website, which is PANYNJ.org. Correct, Anthony, or is it .com, or is it either?
It's .gov, G-O-V.
.gov. See,
G-O-V.
I messed it up. P-A.
Yeah.
Go
no,
ahead.
No
you say it.
Yes, it's P-A as in Port Authority, N-Y as in New York, N-J as in New Jersey, .gov, G-O-V. And that'll take you to our corporate website, and it'll list information regarding, you know, the history of the organization, all the facilities, as well as how to do business. So there's a link on that corporate page on how to do business, and then you click on that, and it'll give you all information in regards to how to become registered, which is free, how to become certified, and et cetera, about programs, training, et cetera.
Fantastic. So, again, thank you, Mr. Miller, for joining us. I just want to remind all of our listeners that we will be here next week with another exciting episode of NABWIC Talks. We'll be talking with Miss Joanne Brewer next week. She's also a small business, construction business here based out of New Jersey. So until next time, I want to tell everyone, please enjoy your day, and we will see you. We will speak with you soon. Thank you, everyone. Have a nice day. Peace and blessings.
Thank you. Have a good day, all.
This concludes our show. Thank you for listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. For more information about NABWIC and our membership, please visit us on the web at www.nabwic.org. We are the voice of Black women in construction. Have a great and prosperous day.